Saturday, the 11th of November, marked the 99th anniversary of Remembrance Day. Formerly known as Armistice Day, this day marks the end of the First World War. At 11 a.m. on the 11th of November 1918, the Western Front fell silent after more than 4 years of continuous warfare. The Germans called for an armistice and accepted Allied terms that resulted in unconditional surrender. From that time, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month attained a special significance in the post-war years. On the first anniversary of the armistice in 1919, 2 minutes silence was proposed by Australian journalist Edward Honey. The silence was popularly adopted and became a central feature of commemorations of Remembrance Day. On the second anniversary of the armistice in 1920, the return of the remains of an unknown soldier gave the commemoration added significance. After the end of the Second World War, the Australian and British governments changed the name to Remembrance Day, as Armistice Day was no longer an appropriate title for a day which would commemorate all war dead. Today, I spoke to the manager of fundraising of the Victorian RSL, Mr. Peter Smith.
Remembrance Day, the 11th of November, marks the day on which the guns fell silent in 1918 to mark essentially the end of hostilities in World War One. That cessation of hostilities happened at 11 o'clock in the morning, and so we often refer to the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month as Armistice Day, because it did mark the armistice or the cessation of hostilities. But since then, it's become a day of national commemoration of people who have served, but in particular died in wars and conflicts.
Several ceremonies were held on Saturday to acknowledge the anniversary of Remembrance Day.
In terms of the day itself, there would be scheduled events. The principal one here in the city of Melbourne was an event or a ceremony, a commemorative ceremony at the Shrine of Remembrance, held at 11 o'clock. But that was also replicated right across the state, with lots of RSL sub-branches conducting similar, perhaps smaller, commemorative ceremonies in their local communities. So the same event all over the state by the local RSLs and local communities.
Mr. Smith says the Victorian RSL is planning a special celebration for next year's 100th anniversary.
Well, certainly that's our intention, to mark that in a very special way. It is a huge milestone for us, the 100th anniversary of the end of World War One. World War One had such a massive impact on this country, as it did indeed on most of the world, that it deserves to be remembered, and the service and sacrifice of those who passed away deserve to be remembered. So we want to make sure that people do take the time to pause, reflect and remember. We've got a planning group on board. We're working together with local authorities, city councils, state government, federal government, so that we coordinate our activities. I can't give you chapter and verse about precise activities, but we certainly want it to be a remembrance day to remember.
The RSL was created in 1916 to assist soldiers and sailors returning from conflict, and Mr. Smith says that this is still the case.
Yep, certainly. That's exactly why we were created. We were created in 1916 because in those days there were no or very limited other organisations, including the government, able or willing to help those who had suffered it during war. So the RSL does this in a range of ways. We tailor our support to fit the individual need of the person who served, so whether it's Army, Navy, Air Force, or their dependents. If they need help, we'll help them. Now, sometimes it's just a simple thing like relieving some financial hardship. If they're in a bad way financially, we might be able to help them out. But it could be other things as well. We might be able to help them with transitioning out of the Defence Force, finding employment, or assisting them to find employment. We might have activities, or we do have activities, that help in their overall health and wellness, getting them active, getting them out and engaged in the community rather than self-reflecting and falling into a deep mental illness issue. So the way we help varies enormously. It's not all cash. Sometimes it's just personal assistance as well. So we do home and hospital visiting. Relief of homelessness. If we find a veteran who is in need of accommodation, we'll work hard to provide that. So there's some of the ways that we do that. For dependents, it might be assistance with education, for instance. Just to reinforce the fact that in addition to us getting our message out about how we continue to help and continue working on new ways to help men and women who have served their country and who need our assistance, the other call that I'd love to make is to your listeners, if you are someone who has served or you know someone who has served and they need assistance in some way, they should contact their local RSL for help.
The poppy has long been a part of Remembrance Day and remains a symbol due to the famous poem by Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, which noted the abundance of the flower during the First World War. In Melbourne, 200,000 woolen poppies were scattered over the lawns of the Shrine of Remembrance for the occasion on Saturday. The Shrine of Remembrance is the National War Memorial of Victoria, a monument dedicated to all those who have served in the armed conflicts and peacekeeping operations in which Australia has participated. Today, I spoke to CEO of the Shrine of Remembrance, Mr. Dean Lee.
The key focus of Remembrance Day every year is the passing of the ray of light across the Stone of Remembrance within the sanctuary of the main shrine monument. But this year, there were a range of other activities occurring around the shrine, including the installation of nearly 200,000 woven woolen poppies put together by members of the Victorian community to show their respect for service and sacrifice. And they lay in large red mats across the grass fields that sit to the north of the shrine and attracted many people just to sort of come and look initially at the beauty of them, but that also allowed them then to reflect on the significance of the poppy and its relationship to remembrance.
The Shrine of Remembrance is well known for holding some of Melbourne's biggest ceremonies for commemorative events such as Remembrance Day.
The shrine conducts 160 ceremonies every year, and Remembrance Day is one of the more significant of those, as it attracts the largest number of pilgrims to commemorate service and sacrifice. We host a ceremonial parade, have a wreath-laying service attended by Her Excellency the Governor Linda Dassault and other dignitaries from the Consular Corps and across the Melbourne community. Approximately 3,500 people attended this year.
The Shrine of Remembrance was created to commemorate all those who have served in conflicts, but Mr. Lee says it stands for more than that.
I think it does stand for more than that. Whilst the Shrine Monument was constructed to commemorate service and sacrifice in what was known as the Great War, the First World War, it's also come to be a focal point for the community and visitors to Melbourne to reflect on how Australia's involvement in international conflict has actually served to shape the community that we live in today. All of the demographic, ethnographic, technological and other changes that have been driven through these world events.